Hello, and welcome to the latest Barclays Corporate Insights podcast. Today, we're continuing our focus on customer satisfaction, or CSAT, a powerful way for organizations to gain and maintain a competitive advantage. This is the third in our four-part customer satisfaction series, featuring Joe Corson, CEO of the Institute of Customer Service. Joe has a wealth of commercial and financial sector experience and has also held director roles in brand and business consulting, policy development, and research. In this podcast, Joe will be speaking to our Barclays colleague about the future of CSAT and where the opportunities and challenges lie for both B2B and B2C businesses.
Would you mind starting off today's episode by explaining how customer expectations are changing and how this is reshaping their relationship with businesses?
I think a couple of things are actually going on. Given the economic challenges that most of us are facing into, we are certainly more demanding, we have less monies, and we are much more savvy about what our rights are. So does that mean that we are changing? And also, I think this is true, what has happened with social media, as we're in the world of instant gratification, and we are clearly in the world of wanting it now. So that does put additional pressures on organisations, you know, whether I should deliver the same day, all of those sorts of kind of aspects. But it also, some of that hasn't changed. So if I look at what the data, the behaviour data that I look at, as customers, we want to be able to interact with organisations that we trust, that we believe, and that has a product or a service that I want. So some of these are just basic business rules of engagement, if you like. And I think it's about having an honest dialogue. So it's really interesting. When you talk to retailers about the number of people that actually do want something delivered the same day, so they click, I'll have it delivered the same day, or I'll go in store and pick it up on the same day. Only about 20% of us do that, even though we've clicked for that. And actually, usually it's about 3 days or a bit longer than that. So I think it's about having an adult-to-adult conversation and saying, look, we can do all of these things for you, Mr. Customer, but actually, what do you want? So that you feel engaged and as part of this conversation. Because most of us, I think, are a bit more prepared, if we understand why something has gone wrong, to listen. More prepared to understand, actually, yes, I can do that, but this is what we'll have to do in order to be able to do that. As long as you explain that to me, I'm much more, okay, yeah, I get that, and as long as you deliver it. What I get irritated about is you promised me this and it didn't happen. You promised me somebody would be there at 9 o'clock. They weren't. And it's the fulfilling those promises, not just making empty or idle promises. I don't want something tomorrow if it's not what I expected it to be. It's about actually delivering on your promise and delivering well on your promise.
Are companies then investing more in going above and beyond with this more open dialogue in mind?
Sometimes, you know, going the extra mile or doing something that isn't necessarily going to mean that you're going to get, as an organisation, something immediately back. And what I mean by that is doing it because it's the right thing to do. And I certainly see more organisations that are serious about this thinking about the delivery in the round. So it isn't just about delivering product A to B, if this makes sense. It's also about, well, yeah, I could do that, but also in addition to that, giving freedom to your people to say, and if you need to do something else, then do it. Timpsons is a really interesting example of that, of where, you know, random acts of kindness, I think they call it, or various kind of aspects of doing something in addition that isn't necessarily what is required. Now, I'm not talking about sending bunches of flowers. I'm talking about doing something that actually was quite important. And this is back to this genuine dialogue. So they've worked out that actually you don't want a bunch of flowers, but you mentioned something about your mum that was really important to you. So they've done something, they've listened to that, and they've responded to something that is important to you. And that's about having a genuine relationship. And I think you will start to see, you know, I will choose organisations that care about me. You know, another classic example is a female shopper. I love my clothes. The number of times you go to a shop and someone says, that looks lovely on you, you know it doesn't look lovely on you. It looks dreadful on you. So, you know, versus actually someone saying, take that off now, it's hideous, but give me 5 minutes and I'll find you some fabulous things. And that's that kind of genuine desire not to sell me something, but to actually make me feel happier, make me feel valued, and to do something above and beyond. And I think that is really important. But that's about having an honest dialogue with somebody.
That's an interesting example. Are there any other ways in which the experience is becoming more important today?
So we talk about experience rather than, you know, an activity. What is definitely the case is you and I have enough stuff. So creating memories or creating experiences, I think, is really, really important. And we're starting to see that more and more. So it isn't just about me buying that outfit or that piece of food. It's about how did it make me feel? It isn't just about, I mean, if we took another example, nothing to do with retail, but if you took an example like going to a hospital, nobody really wants to go to a hospital, but actually, if you look after your family, so when I go to that hospital, are there reasonable places if my family need to eat something? Are there people, you know, have we cared about that as a family unit, not just the person that is ill or sick in that kind of situation? So what we're talking about is making that a genuine experience outside of just the thing, you know, I go to hospital, expect my leg to be fixed or whatever it needs to be, but actually make that much easier for my mum to park her car, make it much easier for actually them to get a cup of coffee. You know, that creating a bigger environment rather than it just being that transaction is really important.
So what are the five biggest trends for organisations to focus on in 2019 and beyond? What's changing the CSAT landscape?
We have this big word called Brexit and a whole host of political uncertainty too. So what's the kind of key things that we need to be focusing on? Certainly the advent of AI, and you know, this isn't just robotics. It is absolutely about technology learning. So I think there's some big ethical questions for organisations. Just because we can doesn't mean to say that we should. And I think really thinking very carefully about what we're asking the AI to do for us is going to be really important, because all of my research indicates that we're okay with AI when it's doing routine things. We're less comfortable when it's making ethical decisions for us. So really thinking about why we're doing things. So purpose, why it's relevant, and the impact that we're looking to drive out of our businesses. And purpose-led organisations will become increasingly important. Therefore, the customer experience has to be genuine, has to be authentic, and has to be around me. Thirdly, I guess, designing the customer experience through the lens of the customer, not through the lens of the business. Fourthly, measuring the right things, not just measuring things that are important to me as an organisation or that I have data on, but things that actually make a fundamental difference to the customer. And development of people. In this world, we're spending vast amounts of money on technology. I wonder whether we're spending the same level of commitment and time to our people development. And given the fact that resources are going to be limited and given the fact that retaining people is going to be increasingly important, the professional development of people and making sure that they have the right skills and capabilities to deal with the challenging world that we're going to be looking into is going to be increasingly important.
So, of course, there are challenges in there, as you've said, but presumably there's also opportunities.
So huge opportunities. So again, if I looked at the UK CSI, those organisations that consistently score above their sector average are those that are going to get higher market share, going to retain their customers, have better relationships, probably add value and probably can be more innovative. So looking to the future about what are we going to be doing? Well, we're going to be, think about the amount of data that we're sharing. So the more data that I share, the more personalised that service is, as we've said, be able to create new products and services on the back of that. Much greater connectivity. So what does smart mean for our homes? It's joining everything up. And I think the future world won't be just industry sectors. It'll be the alignment across a number of industry sectors. So let's take the example of the airport. I choose to fly out of certain airports because actually that's about the piece, how easy you make that for me. So I fly out of city quite a lot, and I fly out of city because it's very smooth. I check my bag in, I go through security really quickly, I can charge my phone and I can get a decent cup of coffee. And all of that only takes about an hour. Actually, I will continue to fly out of city whilst that actually happens for me. The moment one bit of that doesn't work well, I'll choose to go somewhere else. And so I think this connectedness is a really important aspect of the future. And I think the other things is around being open, transparent, building the right skills. All of those, where you have that opportunity, to work far more in partnership, to think bigger, to make connected journeys, for make life easier for me as a customer, then I'm much more likely to be loyal to you.
Looking ahead then, where would you like to see the biggest improvement?
So where would I like to see the biggest improvement? I suppose there's a couple of things, really. Ensuring that organisations are really committed to this, which means the top of the organisation, the leadership, believes it and delivers it. I'd also like the city to wake up to some of these things, so the investor community, to kind of think about, actually, this is making a difference. And, you know, asking more questions. So asking more questions of organisations about how customer-centric really are you. And I'd like organisations to measure this more effectively and report on it more.
Do you have any practical advice for corporate decision makers who may be listening and want to put this into practice?
Absolutely. So for me, what are the kind of key things you need to do? Be really clear about where you are now and where you want to go to. Think really hard about how you're going to measure that. There's tons of research around this. The Institute can help you, but also learning from others. So having conversations with other organisations outside of sector, understanding what they're doing well, why they've chosen to do those particular routes, and listen. Fundamentally, listen to your customers and your employees. They have a wealth of knowledge, and they are the ones that are interacting day in and day out with the customer and the consumer.
Are the challenges and changes broadly the same across B2C and B2B?
The reality is that the same issues, whether you're in a B2B environment or you're in a B2C environment, they're still the same. So this is about engaging the customer in a meaningful way that the customer wants to be engaged with. It's about making sure your people are professional, making sure that you're still easy to do business with, your systems are not antiquated, making sure that you're easy to navigate, all of those aspects. When it goes wrong, probably matters even more, because these are about bigger long-term relationships. So actually getting that really good is really important. But also your supply chain and your links, because it's no good you being brilliant if you actually drive the wrong behaviours in your supply chain. And I think the whole area of procurement, which is another subject, will become even more important as we go forward. So choosing suppliers, having partnerships with organisations that actually have the same value set as you, that actually see customer service not as a few words to it, but actually I really care about this and measure it effectively is going to be really important. You know, I think you will start to see more organisations choose suppliers that actually can prove and evidence that they have higher levels of customer satisfaction. Or if you're outsourcing, you know, do your outsourcers actually have the same ethos, values, commitment to customer service that you have? And all of those are really, really important. So it doesn't really matter to me whether you're in the B2B or B2C or B2B2C. Ultimately, we are all delivering to a customer or a consumer at the end of the day. And the same principles, the values, the behaviours, the commitment from the top of an organisation matter, whether that's a B2C or a B2B.
This has been the third of four customer satisfaction podcasts from Barclays Corporate Insights. Thanks for listening. And thank you very much to our guest, Joe Corson, for joining us here in the studio. It's clear that customer satisfaction will remain a key differentiator in 2019 and beyond. That's why we've produced three more podcasts that share insights and advice from Joe on this critical subject. Hear more about the competitive advantages of enhanced customer service and how you can measure CSAT, how to embed a culture of excellence, and the traits shared by companies who excel at CSAT. And don't forget to look out for further customer satisfaction content from Barclays Corporate Banking. Thanks again for listening.